But if you live in an old or historical building, and let's face it, here in Cambridge the chances of that are pretty high, then you're also probably aware that there can be downsides too. Sometimes all the features that make a building beautiful, such as skylights, architectural touches and masonry, contribute to it being a cold and drafty dwelling. So how do you make buildings that are hundreds of years old energy efficient without tearing them down and starting all over again? Planet Earth podcast presenter Richard Hollingham went to London to find out.
I'm at the back of Paddington Station in West London, next to a fairly busy road, and with me is Bob Lowe from the UK Energy Research Centre. One of his areas of research is how to improve the energy efficiency of cities. Now, Bob, you're a building physicist.
Yes,
so let's look at this building here. It's a five-storey building. We reckon between us, neither of us are architects, we reckon about 200 years old. It's got a rather nice cream facade, large sash windows surrounded by this ornate masonry, and there's a balcony running the length of the building. This is a nice building. You would not want to tear it down, but I guess it's not energy efficient.
Probably isn't energy efficient. Things will have been done to it over the years. It's almost certainly got some double glazing. In fact, I can see the double glazing there. It will have modern heating, ventilating systems inside. But basically, the envelope is solid wall, no insulation, very high heat loss. So if you want to do something about the energy consumption of London as a whole, you actually have to deal with hundreds of thousands of buildings like this in order to crack that problem. And nationwide, there are something like 7 million solid wall buildings.
Just on the junction we're standing at, these buildings stretch all the way down the street into the distance. We are surrounded by them. So here's the question, how do you make this more energy efficient?
We did have a look at the back on our way round, and one of the things about buildings of this age is that very often the back is much, much plainer than the front, and it actually turns out that you have more wall area at the back, because the back goes in and out with things that up in Yorkshire we call offshots. I don't know what you call them down here, kitchen extensions and so on, often built in when the buildings were first built. So you've probably got 50% more wall area, and in principle, you can insulate it.
The thing is, I suppose, you wouldn't design a modern city if you were trying to reduce its carbon footprint like this. Well, like the junction here, for example, with blocks of four roads going off in each direction, busy road here, and solid walls.
And yet there are some things that the Victorians got very, very right indeed. These days, it's almost impossible to replicate this kind of urban environment under modern planning rules, with rules for roads, turning radiuses for traffic and so on. So this is very, very difficult to replicate.
So what's good about this?
What we have here is very high density. It's then relatively straightforward to connect this to effective public transport systems, buses, the underground system, something that occurs in very, very few other cities in the United Kingdom. I can think of maybe two or three cities that have significant underground railway systems. So what we have here in transport terms is extremely efficient. And you've got to remember that energy consumption is only about 30% of total energy consumption in the UK, and transport is nearly as important and growing much faster.
So if you're looking, if I use the phrase, to retrofit a city, to make it greener, then you've got to look at all these things. You've got to look at the cladding, the buildings, the transport system, where the energy comes from, the whole lot.
That's right. At the moment, these buildings are almost certainly heated by gas, supplied with electricity from power stations in the rest of the country. Well, in terms of the gas, in terms of the heating, it would be possible to heat the area here with hot water supplied from nearby power stations through pipes, something that's done in many cities, many towns and cities in places like Denmark and Sweden, parts of Germany and so on. That would require significant interventions across the city. It would require a level of planning which the United Kingdom has not been that good at over the last 20 or 30 years since I became involved in this kind of work. These are real problems that don't go away.
Professor Bob Lowe from the UK Energy Research Centre talking to Richard Hollingham. You can find more Planet Earth podcasts and links to Planet Earth resources at thenakedscientists.com/planetearth.